Hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis. And if it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and we want to hear from you. If you have a question or if there's something you'd like to talk about on this edition, give us a call right now. The lines are open at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Our tagline for the ministry is Hear It, Believe It, Live It. And oftentimes we focus a lot of our attention on hearing what that gospel story is. So often when you tell people about Jesus, it goes in their minds and it comes out, well, here's what I need to be doing.
Yeah.
Well, if that's the case, you haven't heard the gospel, because the gospel is the story of Jesus. It's the good news that he's accomplished on our behalf. And so once you've really heard that story, then you come to the point and you say, do I really believe it? Do I really believe that Christ died for my sins? Do I really believe that he was raised so that I could have everlasting life and a new identity in him? And once you believe that and are resting in Christ Jesus, then from that place of rest, there's the encouragement of the scripture to live it out. Live out who you are in Christ. And today's passage is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, and it's one of those passages that encourages us as children of God, to live out this gospel message in the world today. And here's what it says, therefore, be imitators of God. And that Greek word is the word that we get our English word mimic. So it says to be a mimic of God as beloved children and walk in love. As Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. And then we're going to go down to verse 8 and read this. For at one time you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So here's the admonition, not only to be a receiver of what Christ has done, but to be a abider in who he is in you so that you can see his life being lived out through you. Well, what does that look like? It looks like a walk of love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us. I really think this is such a powerful passage, guys, and it's something sometimes we overlook, that we don't pay enough attention to the live it aspect of this gospel message.
Yeah, and you think about what it means here, this mimic, this imitate. It's not the same as if we were following some sort of historical religious teacher, let's say Buddha or Muhammad, or, you know, anyone could look back and imitate a historical teacher. But what this is saying is that because of who we are, we're children of light. That means we have light within us. Well, who is the light? The light is Jesus. And so where would we be imitating from? Where would we be looking? Well, we'd be looking within ourselves where Christ dwells. We wouldn't be looking back, say, to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and just saying, oh, here's 25 actions that Jesus did. What would Jesus do? And then engaging in sort of a mechanical imitation of a historical teacher. Many Christians kind of think that that's what Christianity is, guys, an imitation of Jesus historically, looking back and saying, what would Jesus do, and calling ourselves followers of Christ. Well, you know, that falls short because we're indwelt by Christ. We're united with Christ. We're one spirit with the Lord. And so any mimicking or fixing our eyes on or imitating any of that attitude is going to happen as we look to Christ within us. And that's the beauty of being indwelt by his spirit. So, you know, just to sum up here, I think it's important to recognize identity is motivating this. He says you're beloved children, and he says that we are light. So that's the premise by which we would choose dependency. Because I'm light, I'm going to depend on the light. Because I'm a child of God, I'm going to trust in God. So identity is key, and the indwelling of Christ is key.
Number of years ago, a friend of mine gave this example, and I really like this particular example. It says, Say somebody is sitting there listening to some music. He has some earbuds in his ears, and he's snapping with the music. He's in rhythm with the music. And somebody comes up and sits next to him and looks at what he's doing and tries to mimic and to get in step, to get in beat with the person that's right next to him on the bench. Well, he may be imitating the activity, mm-hmm. but he's not mimicking the reality of what's happening with that guy listening to the music. And as children of God, we get to listen to the music of God's life just coursing through our spirits. And because we're listening to that music, the music of his love, then what pours out of us is in tune with that. We really do live genuinely and authentically as children of light. Why? Because the light of God, God himself, is doing something in us. Now, religion says copy those activities.
Yeah.
And Christianity says listen to the music of grace.
Yeah.
Listen to the music of Christ's life. And boy, what comes out of you will be real. And you will, and people will know the difference. Yes. I guarantee it.
Yes, indeed. Well, that's Basic Gospel. Of course, Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and me. Glad you're with us today, everybody. We have plenty of open lines, and if it is the first half of the 3 p.m. Central Time hour, it's the live broadcast. We want to hear from you. Want you to be a part of it. 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. Andrew, talk to our listeners just a little bit about why it's important for Basic Gospel to be on the air with this New Covenant message.
Well, I mean, you know, I've been in and around Basic Gospel for a couple of decades now, and it's been exciting to watch the ministry grow and develop and reach even more people with the great news of God's grace. And, you know, why do I support it? I support it because the message is so critical. I mean, people need to know the good news of their total forgiveness in Christ, what it means to be forgiven once for all, what it means to live under God's grace and to not have any compromises in that, but instead to do a free fall into Jesus and trust him. And that's the message that Basic Gospel carries. I mean, day in and day out, every single week, we are proclaiming the excellencies of God's grace. And, you know, the identity message, the forgiveness message, the living under grace, walking by the Spirit message, these are the focal points of Basic Gospel. And you don't hear that everywhere. It's important to hear it and be encouraged by it and be built up in the truth. So if you're out there listening right now and you're excited about Basic Gospel and you're excited about this message and you want more people to hear it, well, we encounter opportunities for growth and expansion and reaching new people groups every single month. We hear about opportunities, and you can help us make those opportunities happen so that we can reach all kinds of people, not only in the United States and in Canada, but around the world.
Yes.
So I encourage you to support Basic Gospel. Go to our website, and it will take just a couple of minutes to partner with us.
Absolutely. Andrew, thank you for those thoughts, and I couldn't agree more. Friends, you can donate online at basicgospel.net. In Canada, at basicgospel.net/Canada, you can make your donation by phone at 844-322-2742. With the Basic Gospel app, you can make your donation, or with PayPal. And when you make your August gift to Basic Gospel, we'll send you a copy of our excellent series, The Real You. It's all about your identity to become a child of the living God. And we'll send you that particular series as our way of saying thank you for your gift of support to Basic Gospel.
Well, thanks, Bob. We read some powerful passages in Ephesians chapter 5. We read verses 1, verse 2, and then we skipped down to verse 8. And in the middle of those passages are some very troubling verses. And I know some of our listeners may, after listening to the broadcast today, will go and pick up their Bibles and decide, I want to read Ephesians chapter 5. And they're going to come to verse 3 where it says, but sexual immorality and all impurity and covetousness must not be even named among you as is proper among saints. So again, he talks about our identity as children of God, as saints in Jesus Christ. And he says, let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. So children of God, as we respond to the love of God, we have this overwhelming sense of gratitude to God for what he's accomplished for us in Christ Jesus. But then he goes on to say, for you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. And so for those who read, maybe go back and read this particular chapter and come across this, I guarantee you there's going to be some confusion. There's going to be some questions. Well, so as children of God, can we lose our salvation? Say, I give in to one of those temptations. I give in to one of those fleshly desires. Does that mean I've lost my place in God's kingdom? Does that mean that he's booted me out, that I've lost my salvation? And I wanted us to take just a few minutes to address that, because I think it's vitally important for us to understand what Paul is saying and what Paul is not saying in this particular passage. Guys, what is Paul saying to us? What can we count on if we are children of God?
Yeah, you know, first I would say this, Bob, that we've got to recognize that we're reading a description of someone else here in this passage. I mean, as it continues, it says, don't be partakers with them. Don't be partakers because you were formerly darkness. So you used to be like them. But if you're a believer, if you're in Christ, you are not them. And I think that's the critical thing here. Have all of us thought impure thoughts? Absolutely. Have we ever acted in an immoral manner? Of course. We've all done things, whether there's something on this list, whether it's silly talk or coarse jesting or filthiness, or, you know, all of us out there are guilty of committing some sort of sin on this list somewhere in our Christian life. So does that mean the bet is off? Does that mean the deal is broken? Does that mean we've lost our salvation? No, the point of this is that this is who these people are by nature. They are covetous by nature. They are immoral by nature. They are impure by nature. They are idolaters by nature. And because of that, they're not born again, and they have no inheritance. But you, as a Christian, you, as a child of God, well, it says that we are different. So don't partake with them. That's what we used to be. We were formerly darkness, but now we're different at the core. So, you know, when you're reading this, you have to identify who are the unbelievers, who are the believers, and who am I? Well, I'm in Christ. I'm a believer. I'm a son of God. I'm a child of God. I'm not a son of disobedience, and I'm not darkness. I'm light. So identify yourself in the passage, and that'll help a great deal to clarify.
It really will. Yes, and there's a sister passage to this, one almost identical in 1 Corinthians 6. And he goes through a similar list, and he says, folks that do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But then at the end of that passage, he gives an amazing conclusion. And he says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. So if you're a believer in Christ, you are no longer labeled a sinner. You no longer are a son of disobedience. You are someone that has been washed by the blood of the Lamb, someone who has been sanctified, set apart by Christ Jesus himself, someone who has been declared righteous in the very sight of God, and in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So once you're in Christ, you cannot lose your salvation. You are his forever. Always will be named by God a very child of God, a beloved child of God.
Yeah, there's a similar form of argument in 2 Corinthians 5 when Paul is talking about the reconciliation that is ours in Christ Jesus. And he ends the argument by saying, we implore you, be reconciled to God. And that's exactly what he does here with slightly different words. You know, be children of light. walk as children of light. Recognize what God has done in you and through you, and allow that to show itself. And in the meantime, this other stuff is going to fall away. You're going to be tempted. Sometimes you'll fall, but you do not any longer identify yourself this way. You're a child of light. Live as a child of light.
Yeah, Andrew, you have a great quote that you tweet oftentimes about the Christian life. Find out who you are and then just be who you are.
Yeah.
Something, I think I paraphrased it probably pretty badly, but something along those lines. And I think that's what this passage is really talking about, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, the Christian life is simple, and the way I express it is, hey, people are always asking, what are the steps? How can I, you know, give me a two-step program or a three-step program? Well, I like to kind of dash that against the rocks and say, okay, if we want steps here, it's basically this: learn who you are in Jesus Christ and then be yourself. And I think that that second part, that we get to be ourselves, guys, that is so often missed in the Christian life. You know, we've got that phantom Christian. We've got that standard we're trying to live up to. We've got someone else that we've idolized. We've got somebody that we're trying to imitate, another believer. We've got a standard that we're trying to attain to. And God is saying, look, I made you unique. You are a unique expression of me. You're a child of God like no other. You know, it's like we get to be a unique canvas on which the master painter is painting his life. And sure, he's done it millions of times before, but he's never done it quite like this. And so each of us has a unique opportunity to be that special expression of Jesus. We get to be ourselves, our personality, our hobbies, our interests, our sense of humor. You know, Jesus wants to animate all of that and inspire all of that as he dwells in us. So learn who you are in Jesus Christ and be yourself. It's that simple.
Absolutely. And friends, if you're struggling and want to know how the Christian life is really supposed to work, understanding what Bob, Richard, and Andrew have just shared is very, very important, but Bob has put it in print. He has a book called Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and it can make a huge difference in how you live every day of your Christian life. And you'll find Simple Gospel, Simply Grace online at basicgospel.net, or you can order by phone at 844-322-2742. It's only $10, and we pay the postage. So you can order yours today, and you'll find out how the Christian life is really supposed to work. Simple Gospel, Simply Grace by Bob Christopher. Well, guys, a question from Mary Ann. She says, we hear about body, soul, and spirit. I'm pretty sure about body and spirit, but what is the soul?
Well, that's a great question, guys. I mean, you know, the word soul there, we know that it's this Greek word psyche, which where we get our word psychology from. And, you know, there's a lot of thoughts out there about the soul, but let me just say, make a few comments here. I mean, we've been created body, soul, and spirit, and that's the way we're designed to function. So the soul is not bad. The soul is not our enemy by any stretch. The soul is mind, will, and emotions. And God wants us to employ our minds, employ our will, and have healthy emotions. And so that's not all of us, though. There's a deeper place called our human spirit. So our mind and our will and our emotions are designed to be animated and motivated by our spirit where Christ dwells. So whether it's your body, which God calls a temple of the Holy Spirit, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, or whether it's your soul, which is going to go to heaven along with you as part of you, or it's your spirit, look, there's nothing wrong with who you are. The flesh is our enemy. The power of sin is our enemy. But you are a child of God through and through, and will even get new resurrection bodies to match. So I think it's important to understand the role of the soul. That's where we think, and that's where we choose, and that's where we feel. But that's not all of us. There's a deeper part of us, the human spirit, and that is where life came to reside in us in the person of Jesus.
And it's that life that begins to renew that mind of ours.
Yes.
And then as we kind of work out this salvation, as Paul says in Philippians 2, we work out what God has worked in. We, in the choices that we make to live and to do of God's good pleasure. And so this life gets animated through us, through that soul of ours, through that mind, through those emotions that we experience, and through our choosing. And that's exciting to know that even this soul of ours can truly participate in the divine nature, as that life of Jesus really transforms us from the inside out. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. But I love how you just simplified it. It really is. The soul of man is the mind, the emotion, and the will.
Yes, indeed. Good stuff, guys. Thanks. Again, it's Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and me. And again, we're glad you joined us, everybody. I had a question from a Pittsburgh listener, Pittsburgh, PA. I've heard you talk about the unforgivable sin as rejecting the Holy Spirit, but is it rejecting at a past time as I have, or continually rejecting the Holy Spirit? Because I have since accepted the Holy Spirit into my heart. Please advise.
Yeah, well, guys, I mean, you know, every one of us came into this world rejecting the Holy Spirit. You know, we were unborn spiritually. We were not born again. We were born naturally. We were born of a woman. We were born of the flesh, but we were not born of the Spirit. So in that regard, we come into this world as unbelievers rejecting the Holy Spirit. Now, we hadn't heard the good news yet. And then when we hear the good news, well, we have a decision at the doorway of our mind, speaking of that soul. You know, our chooser needs to make a choice. Our mind, we're going to make up our mind about what we're going to do with the gospel message of Jesus. So, you know, it's not that a person is forever doomed if they ever rejected the gospel. It's not that a person is forever doomed if they ever rejected the Holy Spirit. The unforgivable sin is labeling Jesus as not being Messiah, labeling Jesus as something he is not. You know, they did it to him in person with his miracles. They thought he was of Satan rather than of God, and that was blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. They did it at the time of the writing of Hebrews. They were insulting the Spirit of grace when the message of grace came knocking at their door, when the Holy Spirit was there saying, "Let me in." They said, "No, thank you. I'll go back and hedge my bet and go to the temple and look to the law and look to animal sacrifices as my hope instead of Jesus." But look, if you have changed your mind, and if you are now depending on Messiah for life and for forgiveness, well, then you have not committed that sin, and you now are a totally forgiven person in Jesus. You've got eternal life, not temporary life, and that means you will be saved forever.
Well, Andrew, thank you so much for that, and we love these questions that come in to us via email. We certainly have opportunities to ask those questions other ways as well, through our Basic Gospel app, through Facebook, through YouTube, through all the various social media outlets that we have. And we're so grateful that many of our listeners, our viewers, take advantage of those particular channels.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It is always great to interact, to be able to just talk as friends about this good news of Jesus Christ.
Yes,
and that's
indeed
what Basic Gospel is all about, being your friend in your walk with Christ Jesus.
Well, friends, we are talking a lot this month about an important issue to those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. That issue is identity. And to say thanks for your help this month, we'll send you a copy of our excellent series, The Real You, to explain your true identity as a child of God. Donate online at basicgospel.net or in Canada at basicgospel.net/Canada. You can donate by phone at 844-322-2742 or with the Basic Gospel app, and also by PayPal. And when you do, we'll send you the CD series, The Real You. Remember also, friends, that if you have a question overnight or any time for that matter, call 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you. As Bob was saying, we really love to hear from you, our listeners. Again, that number, 24 hours a day, 844-322-2742. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, for Andrew Farley, and all the ministry team at Basic Gospel, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to join us again tomorrow as we continue in The Grace Guide to Marriage on Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.